All right, let's get started. I am so excited, more excited than I generally am. But welcome to the Aging Well Together show. We have such an amazing show today. We have been keeping a little secret here at the Aging Well Together show. But today is the day we get to share the big news. We have a spin-off show. That's right. The Aging Well Together is getting a sibling thanks to our parents, a.k.a. our sponsors, the Orange County Department on Aging and WCOM, of course. And perfect timing to announce this as it is Pride Month. And it's also Juneteenth. Happy Juneteenth. Happy Pride Month. Happy Alzheimer's and Brain Awareness Month. More on that next show. But coming in August is a brand new show on WCOM, Out on the Edge, celebrating the rich diversity of our 55 plus LGBTQ plus community, allies and families in Orange County and beyond. I am absolutely thrilled about this new show. This has been like more than a year in the works, and definitely the last few months in intensity. And I have the three hosts of the new show to tell us all about the plans for the show and to tell us about themselves. They are eagerly and I think nervously looking at me because this is also their first time in the studio that they know this will be them in like 2 months, right? Yeah. A month? Whenever. It's the end of June. Whenever they... Oh, I'm a little over a month. Oh, my gosh. I am so excited. We have Robin Hamilton and Betty Priu. Did I do it right? And Judy McCord. So we're going to all go into this. I am super excited for all we're going to learn together. But as always, and they're seeing me do my thing, before we dive into our show, we give a shout out to WCOM LP Chapel Hill Carborough for hosting our weekly Aging Well Together show. You can catch our show every Thursday from 2 to 3 on 103.5 FM or stream us live through WCOMFM.org. The Aging Well Together is brought to you by, as I lovingly called them, our parents, but our wonderful sponsors, the wonderful team at the Orange County Department on Aging. Besides being our wonderful sponsors and expert guests on the show, each week the team, Marilyn, we love you, Marilyn, over at Orange County Department on Aging, posts our previous shows on Orange County's website. So if you want to catch up on any of our past shows, or if you want to find a range of local Orange County aging resources, you go to the Orange County Department on Aging's website and guess new host. This is where I pause because I know I talk too fast, but we're going to give the website. And not only is this the website for the Aging Well Together show, but soon it will be the website where you go to get the podcast, the previous really recorded shows for Out on the Edge. And that is www.orangecountync.gov/aging. My new host friends, I always make a big deal that it's orangecountync.gov, or they will be going to Orange County, California, which has been happening for folks. So you go to orangecountync.gov/aging. You get a ton of resources. You'll see a link for the Aging Well Together radio show, and soon you will see a link for Out on the Edge. If you have any questions about local resources, you can also call the Orange County Department on Aging, and they can be reached at 919-968-2070. Or if you have any questions about our show or want to suggest a topic or person or organization, and I got a few emails this week, so I've got to be doing some scheduling. The fall is already getting a little booked up. You can email me at the, there's no the, it's one smushed word, agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com. Altogether, agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com. And if you think that's complicated, the Out on the Edge folks are have an equally long Gmail. They're outontheedgeradio@gmail.com. We'll highlight that later, but we wanted to make it super clear for you to find the shows, but it means you're typing in a lot. So a quick shout out to the Carborough bass band, the Robert Bradford Quintet, for allowing us to use their opening music. You heard just a few seconds seconds of it, but you'll hear a lot more at the end of the program. And Alicia Reed, if you are hearing this, we miss you, my love. Alicia is my co-host. She was not able to come today, so she is missing our awesome show with the new hosts of Out on the Edge. But Alicia often listens in. So Alicia, if you're listening to us, we miss you. Alicia is one of the extraordinary wellness instructors at the Orange County Department on Aging. She is also an amazing community volunteer. Name it, she volunteers for it. And she is host of the 3 o'clock show right after us, Afternoon Talk with Alicia. And I don't know whether she's coming in for 3 o'clock or folks are getting previously recorded shows, but you will probably hear her voice some way, either live or recorded at 3 o'clock. But we miss you, Alicia. Okay. And as for me, I am Heather Altman. I've spent over 25 years. I got to change that soon to be over 30 years. And frankly, it's 40 years if you count my teenage work, working in aging services and supports. I help older adults and their family members connect with resources in our community. I'm a caregiver for older family members. And at 54, I'm focusing on my own changing needs. So I am super invested in how we are all aging well together. Okay, and speaking of super invested, I am super invested in the new show. I'm so happy. And our guests are looking at me. And Alicia, I miss you, because what our guests don't know is, as a host, and this is our 81st show, woohoo! 81st show, and for 70 shows, we were like, we need a sound machine. We need something. So we got a sound, this little fun sound thing. And so we play it on the show every once in a while. And so I am so excited. Drum roll, please. Okay, me and Alicia get so much joy out of that. I am so excited first to welcome back to the show Judy McCord. Judy, you were on our second show ever. I know, right? I know. Wait, I got to put some microphones up. Let's get the microphones going. You were on our second show. You were with Shanae, and we were highlighting volunteer opportunities. And it was you and Shanae and Ed Teriyakian. And you talked, and it's funny, you talked about the LGBTQ plus SRT, Senior Resource Team, which we'll get more into this. But so welcome back to Judy. And then welcome to the show. I know we're clapping. See, we can clap. And look, we even have like... Right? Now you're going to want one of these too. $9 on Amazon. There you go. And then I'm excited to have Betty Priu. Right? Did I do good with that? She's blowing me a kiss because I wanted to make sure that I pronounce it right. And we have Robin Hamilton with us.
Hi.
And before we let them talk even more, we discussed who would do it, but I'm going to share the spiel, the paragraph that was just put in the new Endless Possibilities catalog announcing the new show. And it says, join us each week to celebrate the rich diversity of our 55 plus, you know, we could have said 54. I'm 54. I'll be 55 in October. So I'm almost there. Our 55 plus LGBTQ plus community, allies, and families in Orange County and beyond, who we are, where we came from, and what we continue to bring to the party. I love that. So the show is going to begin in August. I'll be sharing a lot more about that. It will be every Monday at 3 is what we think. WCOM, I hope that spot works for you all, but that's the plan. And you'll be able to find it, of course, WCOM LP, Chapel Hill Carrboro, 103.5 FM, or you can stream it. All right. We have not discussed who will go first, but I got to stop talking and y'all have to start talking. Oh, they're all pointing to Judy. They don't even know what the question is, and they're pointing to Judy. All right, Judy. So first, we're going to want to learn about each of you, but we do want to dive into the show first. What motivated you all to come on the air with your own show?
For me personally, very selfishly, I need community. I need... Right now, more than ever, I need to be around people that I feel safe with, who honor who I am, and hold me up, and people I can hold up. That's what this is going to do for me.
I am so excited about that. And then you, what is the, well, Robin, we'll turn to you. What's the mission of the, she just looked at me like, what? What's the mission of this show? Like, what do you want to accomplish with the show?
Oh my God. I'm just thinking we need to change the name of the show right away from Out on the Edge to Out of My League. Oh, dear.
I love that. And listeners, out is all caps, O-U-T. And this is part just to show you how fun it is to talk on the microphones. Nobody's listening. We're just having fun.
what was the question?
Let's stick with the same first question. Oh. Because Judy answered it so honestly. I love that. So rather than the big picture, it was so she shared what motivated you to come on air with your own show. So she shared it. So why don't I stick with that question? Okay, Robin, what motivated you?
That's, yes. I'm trying to think of the short answer.
We have 56 minutes. You can be as long-winded as you want. This is long-form interviewing.
I'll slow it down, having been and raised in the South all my whole life. For the better part of... and I hate improv. I'm going to say that right off. So for the better part of my life, I have been an ally for gay people, trans people, everything. I mean, from the 70s on forward. But it was a few years ago, just about 2 years ago, I realized that I'm not an ally. I'm a member of the community. Mm-hmm. And I'm trans, mm-hmm. and I've been out for a couple of years. And I've known Judy and her husband Mac since 2010. So for 15 years, I've been an ally to them.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden, they are an ally to me. And so this is a way for me to expand that to fill my post-retirement years, whatever like that, and I've just turned 72, and it's time for me to like start a whole new life, and it's exciting, and this is a hugely intimidating project, and so that's probably why I decided to do that. Because okay, thanks.
So
back to you, Heather.
You know, and. Yeah, you know, I will fill the space. No, and there's what's a problem with our new studio? We love our new studio. Thank you, Drakeford Library. Thank you, WCOM. But as we've talked about, it is a bougier studio. So it's there's nothing intimidating about the show except for just the concept of it. But our old space, and Judy may remember, was so quirky. It was like we called it the man cave, and it just looked like no disrespect, but it was so fun and so cozy that people would walk in and immediately be at ease. There's pictures everywhere. I mean, we still have the Superman and Batman statues up, and we have some posters up, but it's a much kind of more refined, dare I say, elegant space. I mean, there's equipment everywhere. But it was so comfortable before that I think it put people immediately in. So we're going to talk about that, how to like make it offline, maybe if not online, how to make the show super comfy so that way you are not intimidated when you come in. And I promise this is my 81st show, and the guest last week said, is it so strange to hear yourself? It is really strange the first few times, but after 81 shows you get super comfy with it. So I promise it will get easier. And thank you for putting yourself out. What is it? Out on the edge, but also out of your league and out of your comfort zone.
This is so far out of my comfort zone. I mean, I too much information, but I've just started voice training recently.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is kind of, I'm trying to play this. So it sounds very, not only is it the whole bizarreness of hearing myself in headphones.
I know.
And realizing that there are more people than the four of us in this room who are hearing this.
We hope, right? There may just be the four of us.
The internet is forever. So my voice therapist is really excited about this project. And some friends of mine in the trans community that I've spoken to are really excited about this project and want to be interviewed for it. And when does the show start? When can we do this? So it's like, Out of My League is a great subtitle for this. I just, but well, that'll pass. That'll pass.
Thank you. And I don't mean to dismiss the nervousness or the and the vulnerability. You are among friends, and we have the most wonderful community of listeners, and you're putting yourself out there, and I think it becomes really motivating and supportive for others who hear you, literally hear you. And you were waving your hand. I didn't know if you were waving to people or you're ready to talk. Oh, she's
waving to people.
There we go. We were talking about how in a windowed space,
the passing parade.
Yes. There is a theme already, Betty, and you get to pick up on it, which is Judy and Robin have both, to me, what I take away is this importance of community. Having that community that supports you, supports your vulnerabilities, supports your adventures, and supports you for even doing new and crazy things like this and coming on the radio. But so those two got into it a little bit. Betty, what's your motivation?
Well, I can, Heather, continue the theme of community because I've been in this area for 33 years and been out for the most part for that time. My wife and I moved to Chapel Hill around 1992. And we have been part of different community expressions here, Women's Chorus, Pride Band, Ruby's Slipper Dance Asylum, which was a gay-sponsored, let's have a party kind of thing. So, you know, we have a lot of history and connections over 33 years. And part of what I want to do is help the younger folks understand the kinds of things we did before and hear how much fun it was and maybe inspire us old folks and also some of the younger folks to, you know, resurrect some of those practices in a new wonderful incarnation that we'll all enjoy.
It's so exciting. And so are all of you in your 70s? Do I have that right? Mm-hmm. Everyone?
Yes. 68, so close.
Oh, there we go. All right.
I'm 78, so.
Okay. So
I'm the middle child.
Yes, right. And then I'm your baby sister at 54. But what I love about this is not only are you showing just, I can't find the right, like, excitement and doing cool things as you're over 55, as you're over 65, is that, like, how hip? You have a radio show now and a podcast will be coming from it. So it just goes to show, like, you can take on new things. I couldn't believe when I took this on at 52, when people are like, when Janice and Beverly came to me and said, will you host the new radio show we're planning? And I was like, what? That is absolutely crazy. Yeah, I'm in. That's just so wild. And so it also just shows that excitement, that excitement doesn't end when my girls are 20 and 24. Like, yes, they're an exciting period of time, but, like, no, it just keeps getting better with all these sort of cool and different things. So,
right. It does make a lot of sense, Heather, because I another very personal reason for me is I want to learn to play with these toys. That's one thing. And two is
these toys. Now, you pointed to Robin and Judy.
Well,
so are they your toys or like
too.
The microphones and the
we
yes.
already play together, so that's hard. But all these cool electronic toys you have, in part because I've really always enjoyed talking with people and getting their stories. And this sounds like a great opportunity to get people's stories and have a lot of people sit in on the conversation.
It is a great vehicle to do that. And I keep wanting my next adventure and something for you to think about with your show and maybe doing it even before. And some of the other shows on WCOM do this, is they do some visuals, like they film it a little bit. And so either it becomes Instagram reels. So because right now we're listening only, right? So we're a radio show or a podcast. And so listeners, what you don't see is we are around a table and there's like cords everywhere. There's headphones. There's like sound thingies. So it's a fun space, but
thingies?
You know, that's the professional.
That's a technical term for that.
Technical,
right?
And professional. On the Aging Well Together show. You were saying before about like too much information. There's not sharing too much. The only thing we can do wrong on this show are the 7 FCC words or whatever that we're not supposed to say. But there's no wrong. We're having fun here. But it is, I do want to get a visual and might start. I tried it last week a little bit with our guests and then I missed part of the recording, but it's starting to film. So it is something you may want to think about too, is filming so people can see the excitement. And yes, it's funny. Betty's taking out her camera and I'm going to take mine out so I can take a picture of the three of them. And we always take pictures at the end, but everyone does look sort of fun with their headphones and the microphones. So listeners, sorry, you're not seeing that, but we're having, and that's one of the goals. And it said, you know, what you all can bring to the party. And Betty, you said, I want to play. Like, that's what this is. We try to do that with the Aging Well Together show, and I think Out on the Edge is going to do that too. It's going to be a bit of playfulness and a party, which is a good segue to what kind of programming you all have planned. Who wants to take that one?
I'm going to start.
Yeah.
We each of us have about 3 pages worth of ideas, so that's probably 10 years worth of shows. We have everything from talking to parents of gay and trans kids and or to people in California who Robin knows, or maybe in England, you know, in London, there's somebody. And we each of us have connections across the country about all sorts of issues that relate to our community, and we're hoping to have performers and playwrights and authors in our demographic and have them share their stories. So that's, and people who are local, like Eleazar, who is the executive director of Equality North Carolina, is also on the Carrboro Town Council.
Nice.
So we have a nice connection there, and I understand he loves doing interviews. So we're going to have that, definitely.
That's great. I remember when Janice and Beverly and I talked about the show, and I went home and started to think of guests. And my first sit down, and I spent about like 15 minutes, I came up with 70 people and topics. It's amazing. And so the problem will not be coming, I promise you, will not be coming up with things. It's then it becomes like logistical, like scheduling, or I'll have people like, I really want you to come on. There's not a spot for 4 months. Or then putting certain topics with certain, like it's Pride Month. So I was so excited that we finally could announce this show during Pride Month. And so anyway, you will have no loss of ideas. And I love that each of you came up with like all these different pages. Robin, were you going to share?
Be sure and send us that list. We can always use another 70 names.
I will. Well, so listeners, we've been having fun behind the scenes. I've been showing them how we do like Google Docs and how I have my whole schedule. So I haven't showed you my scheduling yet. And what's so fun is that now that we're in our third year, right? So when the year starts over, so now for those, like now we're going to geek out on Excel worksheets, you know, or like Google Sheets. We now have like a new worksheet for each year. I start a new worksheet of guests and stuff like that and put all the shows and
put
them
in. We need those details.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. And you will also learn, I also told them, 3 hosts are an interesting situation. And my unsolicited advice, though they do solicit, so you did solicit me for advice, so I think, is one of you be in charge of scheduling, because we learned early on by week 2, you can't, like Beverly was doing some scheduling, I was doing scheduling. No. Alicia knows, don't do, like only one of us can do scheduling, or else you're both going to put, or all three of you will put, you know, or at least share with it, but only have one person put it in or else it gets. But yeah, having a shared document will really help with that. So other programming ideas. So talking about, Judy shared all kinds of creative folks and local town council members. Love it.
Yeah, we had a big conversation just among ourselves recently about what we were calling media commonality. Isn't that a good phrase?
Media commonality? Like M-E-D-I-A, media?
Well, but it's, yeah, what it really was about was, you know, we come from a generation where media was very tightly controlled, you know, and you had to watch that TV program at one particular time, on one particular night.
Or you missed it.
But it gave us a shared view of things. So this is, in a way, it's broader than LGBTQ+. But there were someone snuck LGBTQ, just queer films in the 70s and 80s that some of us watched on TV, on regular public over-the-air TV.
Really?
Yeah, the first time
like
I ever...
Ones?
Well, one was called That Certain Summer, and I think it was maybe 1980. It was the first time I ever saw Hal Holbrook and Martin Sheen. They played gay lovers, but it was the story came through the voice of Hal Holbrook's 14-year-old son, and it was the family reaction. Never saw the guys kiss or hug or anything, but for that time period, it was very daring. And those of us who were queer, I'm sure I'm not the only one who stayed up to watch that show by myself in the living room. And so there are things like that that folks just aren't aware of that existed.
That's a great, like that show alone, all the, there was still something, I was on like Bewitched and that like character, you know, the characters that, okay.
Are you talking, that probably was Paul Lynn. He was a very gay uncle.
Both from a stereotype perspective, some good, some bad stereotypes, but like I'm excited for that show. Just talking about like how it got in. All right, other things.
Well,
she's looking at her list. I love it.
Yeah, I'm looking at my list. So.
Love it.
And you know, we've been thinking about like stories from people 80 plus, because there's a generation a little before us that had to pass, or they wouldn't have jobs. You know, so there were a lot of marriages, and a good number of them in which one partner knew the other one was gay. They were open about it and just dealt with it. And we know people here in the area who went through that. So I think getting their stories is really important. One of the other things is there's a euphemism we used to use for music by and about lesbians, women's music. That was really big.
Hey, I was
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I at Brandeis, where I went, it was women with a Y. We did that. And then we went to the Lilith Fair and Indigo Girls and Newport.
Right.
Go on.
And so before that, though, there was a huge explosion, probably in the late 70s, early 80s, of that kind of music really being recorded in a few studios. Olivia Records was like the biggest, best known producer of that in the lesbian community.
Annie DeFranco.
Yeah. And this is even before Annie DeFranco.
I'll
pop out a few names. Meg Christian was very big. Chris Williamson. And they still do music right now. And there are other people who have done that. Margie Adam. And we've got, I know people in town who actually produce concerts, like at the Carolina and other places, of these women. So I think we've got a body of knowledge here about who they are and what they did and how that affected the lesbian community specifically here. That would be a really powerful story to tell. And play some of that good music, you know.
Well, and that's something that you're planning on doing that I have not navigated or mastered at all. I've done it twice on two different shows, and I did it once last week because the guest was a little late, is actually play music on the show. Most of the other DJs here play music and go back and forth between talking and music. To me, you're going to be more advanced on that than me. That's a whole other thing. You're going to play music.
We'll teach you once we figure it out.
I'll show you the buttons. And so you're going to have a whole mixed media, right? In the sense of
listening
to things.
Right, there's no reason we can't. You know, I guess we'll just be limited by the equipment, right?
Yeah, no, that was... Because we've also talked, besides that, we've also been talking about, as Judy say, both her husband and I write plays. And we were thinking of doing... open mic night for playwrights and or poetry.
Yes.
My very first chapbook came out 2 weeks ago.
What'd you call it? A chapbook?
Chapbook is a volume of poetry that's under 20 pages or so. It's a short one. They were started by poets. Basically, they would write up a dozen or dozen and a half poems, Xerox them, staple them together, and they would be handouts, giveaways at open mic nights. And now they are in most all publishing places. Mine is published by Boats Against the Current, which is a pretty standard literary journal that publish online. They do annual print issues. And they just started. I'm in the second batch of chapbooks that they put together, and I just so all of which is to so. I have a book for sale on Amazon.
Yay! Hawk it. Okay, so tell everyone what it's called. Or you don't have to.
No, it's fine.
Just looked down at the microphone and was like, what am I supposed to say into it?
The title of the book is Fishtailing Through the Intersection of Love and Risk.
Ooh.
It's about the... Basically, it's a book of love forms for successful and not so successful relationships. That's why the fishtailing kind of thing.
Oh.
And I like it. It's a. Oh no.
I hope so. You wrote it. I hope so.
I have just ruined my wife's birthday present because I haven't told her about it.
Is she listening?
She's not listening to this, but I can't say, here, I'm on the radio and give her the link for this.
When's her birthday?
August.
All right, yeah, you're going to have to hold this show for her. Or just give an... you should have told me. I didn't know. Okay, so...
Didn't think about it. I'm intimidated by this microphone. And
so maybe that's... So, again, things I'll tell them offline, but we might as well just do it on. So you do, and I did not do that with you all. Usually I ask my guests, let me know what questions you want me to ask or if there's topics you want to be sure. And only... I host another show. I host a Zoom news show, which is how I got comfortable to do this beforehand through my work with the Serious Illness Coalition. And every once in a while, I interview folks that are in the public space, like they work for the state of North Carolina, or they know that like there's going to be, that there could be some complexity. So I've said to someone, not most people, I said, tell me what you want me to ask about. But a few folks I've said, is there something you don't want me? Is there something that I shouldn't bring up? So I did not know not to bring up your wife's surprise birthday present.
I'm the one who just... I brought the subject.
Yeah, you did.
Didn't ask.
Maybe if we start talking about it, it'll go away.
Okay, it'll go away. She won't even catch it. Well, so I'm gonna turn us around because the other thing that I wanted to tell the three of you about is not only are you part of a community, and you're now part of creating a new community, but you're also joining a new community that you are not aware of, and that is the super fun community of the WCOM DJs. The WCOM DJ hosts.
Do we get a t-shirt?
No, I'm still waiting for my t-shirt. That's going to be a fundraising thing. There were t-shirts before I came on, 2.5 years ago or so, but we're going to get the shirts. But they are the nicest group of folks. We're really eclectic, really diverse. The show topics, the people, and everyone has come together around the common goal of supporting community-based radio and supporting each other. And so you're going to join this listserv, and I'm excited to share with them tonight the picture and about how we have a new show and new volunteers are coming in all the time. And we get together a few times a year, like we just got together to clean out the new studio and we have meetings. And so I've maybe gone to 3 or 4 events, and we do sometimes there's fundraisers that I'll go to. But it is just the most fun, eclectic, quirky group of people. And I was like, wow, I did not see this as my new teammates at some point, your different work colleagues. So just know that you're coming into a new group that will completely support you, even the techie. Like someone will put out and say, hey, I need help learning about the new board, or can someone even cover my show? So that's been fun. People will cover for each other. So you're coming into a great world of community-based radio.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good.
So one thing we haven't discussed, but I did a little shout out about it, but I want to come back to it in terms of the original motivation for the show and the coming together of the three of you, is the link with the Orange County Department on Aging and the senior resource team. Because is that how you all met? Or explain what that is for our listeners so I'm not talking too much.
Probably am the first one in this group to have joined the senior resource team. And I did that before I completed the Project Engage program training. Mm-hmm. And I did that early on because I was new in Chapel Hill, and it was the pandemic, and it was 2016 plus, and horrible things happening. And I needed to find people. And when Shanae said, oh, we have this group, we're making stuff happen, for the gay community. Won't you join us? And I said, please. Yes. So that's how I got on the team.
Shanae runs the volunteer programs for Orange County Department on Aging and is just a rock star. And that's how we met through Shanae. So Shanae brought this group together, brought you into the... You helped to start the group, though, right? Or had it already started?
It had started, but it was kind of on the back burner because of the pandemic.
Yes.
So it was sort of not happening.
It had started with one of the first cohorts. Project Engage listeners is that 12 to 13 to 14 week program where senior leaders, older adults in the community do a program where they learn all about aging issues throughout Orange County. And then at the end, they create a resource team on different topics. And there was an LGBTQIA+ senior resource team, so SRT, that was created. And so that's what you joined. Okay.
Right. I already knew Robin.
Yes, that's what it made it sound like, that you all go back.
Yeah. But it took me a while to get her onto the team.
And we're glad you did.
I was hesitant.
And then, Betty, how did you join? Were you already on it?
Yeah, no, I wasn't. Judy did precede me. A good friend of mine, Jimmy, said, hey, we need some more folks to serve on this team. And I said, well, okay, I'll go. He actually went to my wife first, and she said, oh, that's more Betty's thing. So I went to a few meetings. I said, okay, I'm just going to try this out for a while. I'll see if it's a fit. And I guess it was a fit. It's been about 2+ years. And I guess we're going to go into talking about what we do as the senior resource team also.
I think that's a great segue. Yes, Betty. And how many members, like, are there? Yes, tell us about the team.
Right.
However you want to take that.
We'll tell you about the team first.
Thank you.
It's actually a mixture of people. There's maybe 6 or 7 of us, along with Shanae and some other staff at the Department on Aging. We meet once a month at the Seymour Center here in Chapel Hill and talk about monthly programming that we want to do to help, again, build community, especially for the older queer community, but also multi-generationally. How do we get, you know, everybody involved? So we meet monthly. We also have meetings away from the senior center to kind of think through other programming and what we want to do with this radio show, for instance. Mm-hmm. But we do things like plan movies and potlucks.
Yes.
That's one of our funnest social, purely social
events. I've gone
events.
To one of the, or there was a meeting. I went to something, and there was a whole group of folks there, and it was like, it was something that was really descriptive.
Yeah,
and I heard about the movie night, so it was a big, like, dinner event there.
Yeah, because we all, we all cook well, you know, there's that. But people bring food. We sit around and talk and just, you know, laugh and eat for about half an hour, 45 minutes, and then we enjoy some kind of gay-themed movie in the theater. Usually these are at the Seymour Center.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wonderful because, you know, we get to see movies we wouldn't normally, some of us may not have seen, or we see old favorites like Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, and things like that.
That was good.
You know, it's a lot of fun, and I really think the intent of that one is to foster relationships. Sitting around the table, I've met people I would not have met otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been really great. We also do other things, like we hosted a really excellent, I'm going to do a plug for this one.
Good, plug away.
We hosted a really wonderful presentation by a man who worked for the EPA for a long time. And the presentation was about basically what makes you gay. And it was about all the evidence-based information about, early hormones, other things that have evidence behind them, research done to kind of understand what may have influenced someone to become queer. in some fashion. And it was a fascinating and fun presentation. And we are doing this one again. I can't remember the date, but that's in its possibilities. It's in September. And it will be a hybrid show. It'll be in the theater at the Seymour Center. And also, it'll be broadcast on Zoom.
Live stream it.
Right, because we really wanted this information to be able to get to a broader audience, folks we know out of state. It was an amazing
summary. So he's going to come back and do the same talk?
Right. And
okay,
right, because that was done, I think, early this year. We liked it so much, we thought we just have to do this again. So we do things like that. We've got a picnic planned at Blackwell Park.
Coming out day.
Yeah, for National Coming Out Day, October 11th, the Saturday this year. Big picnic. We want everybody to join us. We've got things like that we're doing.
And those are things that there's like three different shows right there in what you talked about. Yeah. Like I would interview them on the show. You could have a whole Coming Out Day show.
Exactly.
I mean, this is where it just is never ending with ideas. For our listeners that may want to join, is it open to anyone? Is it open to anyone over a certain age? Is it open to anyone who identifies a certain way?
Because we are age friendly and alphabet friendly
and ally friendly.
Age friendly, alphabet friendly, ally friendly. I want the microphone even closer to you because that was such a great. I love that.
We are age friendly, alphabet friendly.
Yeah,
and we have guests. You don't have to be a resident of Orange County to come and join us. We have guests from other places outside.
The main thing that Shanae keeps reminding us is that it's for Orange County residents.
Correct.
And we welcome everybody.
Correct.
Got it. Yes.
Exactly.
And so for listeners who may want to come and join, is there some place to email? Do they just show up? And what days are they for like the once a month meetings?
Well, I would say most often it's the first Wednesday.
Tuesday is the meeting.
It's the meeting.
Our potluck and movie is the first Wednesday.
First Tuesday is the meeting. And is that open for everyone or is that the people?
That's the committee.
Right.
I would recommend if someone wants to be part of the team, to be in touch with Shanae at the Seymour Center.
Okay.
So they can call that number and say, I'm interested in this resource team. And she'll set up an interview to investigate, is this going to be a fit for you?
Right.
And that's my first connection with it.
Right.
I love that. And so let's give everyone the telephone number. So the telephone number is 919-968-2070. Remember, that's that main number that I shared. And you can ask to talk to Shanae at Shanae McPherson, or just say Shanae, or I want to learn about the LGBTQ+ senior resource team. Basically, you could just say, I want to hear about the queer group, and they'll know where to send you.
Well, one of the things we have planned for our show is a weekly events calendar that would include these as well as things in the triangle. Mm-hmm. So that there will always be an update for the movie nights and the potlucks and the picnics and the pride parade at the end of September and that kind of thing. So it's an ongoing update of culture.
I love that. And hopefully you'll have a good group of live listeners. What I've learned for the Aging Well Together show is a lot of our listeners listen on through the podcast, through our recordings. And so it makes shows for me. I do a little bit of shout out about specific dates, but then it like dates the event, or I'm always like, sorry if you're listening to this in September, but this is what was happening in June. So our goal is to get a really good live or within the week update so that way they can hear about things like, oh man, I'm sorry I missed that. But I love that there's something every Wednesday, first Wednesday of the month, because then there's, even if you miss it, there'll be something else coming up.
Right. And it's almost everything is first Wednesday of the month, not everything, but there are different ways to find out what we're doing and dates. There's a great magazine the Department on Aging puts out called Endless Possibilities that you can pick up at the senior centers in Chapel Hill and at Passmore in Hillsboro. Mm-hmm. And that lists all the events we're doing with dates and also registration information, because we do like to know who's, that get a kind of an roundabout headcount of who might be coming. It helps
sense.
Us to make sure we've got things like drinks and stuff like that. So,
and also, if there's an emergency of any sort that we have to cancel, we have a list of people to contact.
Oh, that's a good
right.
point.
And we have had to do that before. Right.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. So, okay. But anything else about the show? Because, you know, we've got about 10, 12 minutes left. I want to be able to talk about each of you, but I want to make sure that we've covered anything about the show, any shout outs you want to make to others. If you're like, hey, if you're thinking of topics, like I'll just, you know, email us or anything else you wanted to share about the show that I want to make sure we're using the mics wisely.
I definitely would like people to be able to email us any ideas they have, any questions.
Things that they would be interested in hearing.
Exactly.
About.
Okay. Okay, and so, and the email again is outontheedgeradio@gmail.com, right? All
that's
one word. And it's cute, I was saying it and Judy was mouthing it to me. I'm like, yeah, I was good, because I was looking at it yesterday and I was like that, and earlier today, and I was like, well, it's like the Aging Well Together show at gmail.com. It's a lot of words, but so people can email you. And of course, folks, if email is not your thing, you have that main telephone number. You can always call the telephone at Orange County Department on Aging, and I've actually gotten two different people called the WCOM station, and they left a voicemail, and then the station manager sent me the voicemail. So you can also, if you need to, just call into WCOM and leave a message, and it will, or email. I've also gotten emails to WCOM.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that we haven't done on this show yet, and it'll be interesting if you all do it, is see the red phone? That good old-fashioned red phone that looks like the president, like a nuclear phone?
Oh, it's possible to do call-ins?
Uh-huh. It hasn't been plugged in yet, and it's really bumming out those hosts, DJs and hosts that have a lot of... Some of the shows get a lot of call-ins. We have not before, but it is something to aspire to. Mm. But know that you can also do call-ins at some point.
Nice.
But, like... The technology isn't set up in the new studio. But isn't that fun? It's an old school, what do we call that? Like dial up?
It's not a rotary phone.
But
it looks like an old rotary phone. Yeah.
It does. Right. It's great. All right. Well, I want in our few minutes left, and I said I was leaving it to the end because we really could have done, when we were planning this, I could do a show on each one of you individually. And so now we just have a few minutes, and you kind of infused a little bit of your stories into your introduction, but it'd be fun to go around a little bit more. Judy, we can start with you, kind of like, just generally, like, where are you from, your background, and if there's a vocational thingy you want to throw in there, there's that technical word.
Well, let's see. I've been in Chapel Hill for 5 years. Before that, I was in the buckle of the Bible Belt.
Where's that?
Yeah, it's. I shouldn't say. There might be friends out there would be... annoyed.
How about what state?
Yeah, just to a state. I mean, we
North Carolina. It was North Carolina.
Oh, okay, got it. The buckle of the Bible Belt. I'm like, what state is that? Okay. Oh, so you're from North Carolina.
Actually, no. We came to North Carolina in 2006.
Okay.
I graduated from NC State in 19...
okay. I've heard of that year.
Yes. And that was in my former relationship. My current relationship is with Mac McCord. He is a trans man. We were, for 13 years, a very loving lesbian couple.
Okay.
And then he transitioned. And we've now been together almost 40 years all together.
Wow.
Which is just a treat. It is a treat to have a relationship that builds and grows like that. We've never been bored. Never been bored. So I think that is my biggest story, is just having a relationship that's delicious. I can't think of another
word.
For it.
I'm going to say that to my
really
husband
is.
Later.
Yeah, so that's that. And you probably could guess that my advocacy is aimed toward the trans community more than anything else. In fact, we've done several programs at the Seymour Center related to the trans community. My favorite, and the one I'm very proud to have put together, is How to Be a Trans Ally.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not easy.
No, especially
everybody,
not...
Everybody in our community wants to do that. Very few of us know what it's going to take.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where my heart is.
I have so many questions, and I'm not going to ask any of them yet because we're going to thread soon because I want to talk to Robin and Betty, but we're going to hopefully come back to it. If not, I would like to have another show because I'm fascinated, and especially, and I love the deliciousness of your 40 year. I am almost at 30 delicious years with my husband, but I love that. All right, Robin, I hate to that's so good, but I'm okay. Want to give some equal airtime. Robin, tell us a little bit about where you're from.
Well, first I wanted to just say I think you should be a guest on our show.
Can I be?
Oh, yes.
Oh, please.
Oh, yes. No, all right.
We're not going to remember anything about running the studio after today.
You'll get drained. No, I would love to be on your show. Okay. I would love to be.
Well, I've already told you my sordid most recent past, but I'm Southern. I was born in Virginia, grew up in mostly Mississippi, where in 1971, I played cowboy in the first production of Boys in the Band, performed in the state of Mississippi. Mark Crowley, the playwright, is from Mississippi. He was from Vicksburg, and the show had been on Broadway, and everybody was famous about a queer show, and
oh.
I mean, what like Betty was talking about. And so a group of out-of-work equity actors had a bootleg company. They couldn't use their equity names because they weren't doing contracts, and they decided to put on Boys in the Band in Mississippi in 1971. It was the first show of that ilk, and I played cowboy.
Okay.
And cowboy is the young hustler prostitute who is the birthday present for Harold, the birthday boy.
Oh, wow.
Who was played by my drama teacher in junior college, and I was supposed to kiss him.
Oh, awkward.
Oh, yeah. I heard the capital letters on that. Awkward.
Yeah, because you're kissing your professor.
Yeah, and this was before.
You are both giving me so much to want to ask about. I cannot believe we're doing this with 5 minutes left in the show.
And
go
this,
on.
This is 1971. The whole power dynamic between
there's so much
teacher and student, which completely flipped because the last 15 years of my career, I worked at UNC in performance studies, and my background is theater as a designer.
Were you over 18 at this? I'm doing the math here.
I was thinking about that the other day. I think I might have been 17.
I know. I was doing the math backwards, too. And yeah. I was like, oh, I don't know.
No, I started college when I was 17.
So, there should be some legal issues at this point. But in today's
world.
Issues. But 1971.
Similarly, in 1999 in San Jose, I was directing a production of Hair. And all the cast, as you may or may not know, gets naked at one point.
Yep, okay.
Except we had a 16-year-old in the cast.
No, it just gets...
And we're just like,
no.
He played Wolf. He was brilliant as Wolf. I couldn't have picked a better Wolf, but he was 16. And we all kind of went,
how do we
do that? And his mother was there, and he was all for it. His mother was all for it.
Yeah, I mean, look, Brooke Shields did all those nude scenes at 14 and the Romeo and Juliet stuff, yeah. Maybe that's not good to reference, but yeah.
But that was one of the things that we had to negotiate. And actually, that production of Hair was my first Pride Parade because we joined the San Jose Pride Parade and marched waving in our hippie outfits and everything. It was really great. But I wound up in North Carolina. My wife is a singer and an actress. We came here to take care of her aging mother.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to the Aging Well Together show.
Exactly. And I, like I said, wound up working in performance studies at UNC in the communication department, designing mostly, but I've written shows, I've produced shows. I worked all over the... I worked 15 years for Deep Dish Theater at the Mall.
Oh, yeah.
And that sort of thing. And so,
that.
And then I retired and was like, I can do anything now. And then COVID hit.
Yeah. And so.
And then I was like, well, I have all this time on my hands. What will I do? Oh, my God, I'm trans. You know.
And then it just.
Yeah, there was apparently, and I don't have the figures to back it up, and I'm going to finish up for Betty. There was a big surge from the lockdown of people who had nothing else to do except look at themselves, and a bunch of people transitioned based on the isolation of the COVID
really?
Lockdown.
Oh my gosh, I cannot believe.
That's our show, not yours.
I have so many questions. All right, but oh gosh, and we have 2 minutes left. But yeah, and it's funny, when I became a caregiver at 47 and then again at 49, I was like, great, now I've become a statistic. Because, you know, woman, daughter, caring for their parents and blowing up everything at 47 and 49. So, yeah, we all have our different times. Okay, weird thing. Betty.
I'm just going to go real quick.
Yeah.
Grew up in southern Louisiana, so I'm a real Cajun. One of those.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
southern.
So 20 years there, 10 years in Austin, Texas, when it was just getting cool. Yeah, it was a wonderful place to be. And then ended up here because my wife had moved here after we knew each other as undergraduates in college in Louisiana, and we're the two token straight girls in the dormitory. That's another story for another day. We ended up getting together. She moved to North Carolina, back to Louisiana. We dated, came back here, and I moved here. And my job was in the tech industry. I was a technical writer. And this was one of the top, like, six places in the U.S. to do that kind of work in the early 90s. So, you know, came to this area and really got immersed in the culture after a while. And there was a very vibrant lesbian scene here. Gays and lesbians don't always mix. You have to make an effort.
Okay.
And so there was a very vibrant lesbian feminist scene that we kind of hooked into in various ways. So, yeah. So it's been, and so we've been together 33 years and officially married for 20. So
Mazel tov. So all three of you have been, Robin, how long have you been with your wife?
We've been together 40 years. We've been married 37.
Okay, so there's so much. I mean, how amazing. Okay, what I would love to do in our 10 seconds left, but what I'd love to do on your show, Ed, or something that...
You want to come interview us?
I would, actually. But also, as since I fall under the ally community, you each shared things that I wonder, what am I allowed to ask about? So I'm going to leave you with that, because I am sure our audience has a ton of follow-up questions, you know, navigating couples that, you know, where one couple comes out later as trans and you've been together for so long, and how does that go from being a same-sex couple to actually now a different gender? Like, how does that work? Or the other way around. So I have so many questions.
Well, and I would say there's no question.
Oh, that's right, because Robin.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
But there's no question that's off limits. We can choose to not answer.
Yeah.
But there's no question that that's off limits.
Okay. Well, that's maybe that's a show. It's another show I'd love to have on Aging Well Together. It's another show or that you all can have. And literally, I'd love to title it, you know, No Questions Off Limits. Or what questions are, you know, I try to be good and I try to be politically correct. And before woke was a bad four-letter word, it was like, oh, okay, I want to say the right thing. And so this whole issue of what's okay to ask about and what you... Okay. I cannot thank you enough. Judy McCord, Robin Hamilton, and Betty Priu, thank you so much for coming on the Aging Well Together show. So excited for Out on the Edge. It's going to come in August. Thank you, WCOM, for creating such a safe and welcoming home for both shows. Thank you, Orange County Department on Aging, for sponsoring both shows. And listeners, wherever you are, whether you're listening, driving around, or listening through the computer, or listening to one of our pre-recorded show, while we all like to hear our voices, and we'll make sure Robin enjoys hearing her voice soon enough, really, it's the fact that you listen to us that makes it so special. So thank you so much to all.